Best-selling author Elizabeth Rosner's Electric City is now out in paperback. The historical tale spans from the end of the 19th century through the mid-20s up to the Summer of Love. The year is 1892. A few years earlier, Thomas Edison moved his Edison Machine Works to upstate New York at the confluence of the mighty Hudson River and its tributary, the Mohawk. It soon became the headquarters of a major manufacturing company, giving the town its name Electric City, which is also the title of Elizabeth Rosner's new novel. She will be in our region to talk about it on Tuesday, November 10th, at an event for the Women's Club of Albany. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Elizabeth Rosner to the roundtable this morning. Elizabeth, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's very nice to have you on the program. It'd be very nice to have you in town. At what point did you decide that you wanted to write about these times in history, and specifically about the Electric City?
Well, as some people may know, I'm from Schenectady originally. I was born there and lived there for the first 16 years of my life. My father, like so many of the fathers back in those days, worked for General Electric. I refer to GE in the novel as the company. But I moved away from there in my late teens just because I wanted to launch myself into a distant location. I ended up living in California for the past several decades. But my father still lives there. And of course, as they say, you can leave home, but home comes with you. Home follows you wherever you go. So after I had finished my first two novels, both of which were set in Northern California, where I live, I realized it was long overdue for me to look back over my shoulder at the place I had left behind. And I became quite fascinated with its history, much more fascinated than I had been when I was living there, I have to admit.
What did you find fascinating about this story, about Schenectady, and of one to look at it over so many decades?
Well, to be honest, I want to give credit to my father, Carl Rosner, who followed in the footsteps of someone very well known in Schenectady and somewhat lost to history, Charles Steinmetz. When I called my father to tell him I had decided it was time for me to write about the place where I was from, he was the one who suggested I look into the life and history of Charles Steinmetz, and I had no idea who he was talking about. But I started doing some research and discovered what a completely fascinating human being he was, not only for his mathematical genius and his scientific mind in general, but because he had arrived in America in that era that you were talking about, just before the turn of the century, and was almost turned away on arrival because he was a dwarf and a hunchback. So his severe physical deformities led people initially to believe that he was not a very promising candidate for American citizenship. But eventually, after he was admitted, through the efforts of a friend of his, Oscar Asmussen, who was a Danish-American, Steinmetz was working in Yonkers, New York, and Edison discovered him, brought him to Schenectady, and everyone realized what a talent he was. So that was one piece of history I became fascinated by. He overcame so much of his own physical limitation to be incredibly powerful and important in the way we developed electricity. So there was that piece of history. But I also rewound even further than that, because when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, everything around me seemed to have a Native American name, street signs and lakes and rivers. But I didn't know any Native Americans personally, and I felt that was a tremendous loss. Not just personally, but collectively. So I started looking into the layer of Native American history that had really been covered over, at least for somebody like me, who grew up learning about the Dutch history, learning about colonial America, but really not studying Native American history particularly. So I started building into my toolkit, my novelist toolkit, all of these layers of history and blending fact and fiction much in the way that I think E.L. Doctorow did in so many of his wonderful books, where he brought in historical figures but made them characters of his own. So I took Charles Steinmetz and invented a Native American best friend for him. And then I thought about my own childhood and the events that seemed dramatic in my memory, like the great Northeast blackout of 1965, which it turns out is coming up on its 50th anniversary, November 9th.
I'm interested because when you talk about 1965, in that chapter of the book, you're talking about the children of those who were working on this, or grandchildren that have worked many decades before, who now find themselves wrestling once again with the legacy of this city.
Right. One of the things that was hard for me about a kid growing up in Schenectady back in those days was that the town felt quite depressed. It felt quite dimmed, let's say, to use the lighting metaphor. And when I started working on the novel, I was thinking about that blackout as something both literal that truly occurred and affected not just New York and the Schenectady region, but of course a great portion of the entire Northeast. And I thought of it as a metaphor as well for those days where the company was either letting go of or moving a lot of its manufacturing out of the region. And we were building up a presence in Vietnam that was ultimately going to become a real entanglement in the Vietnam War. And it started to feel like a kind of dark era to me. And even though I was only 5 at the time of the blackout and my memories of it are actually very meager, I wanted my characters to be later in their teens and more aware of this being kind of a portentous moment, a moment that seemed to signal that things weren't going as hopefully and optimistically as maybe their parents had believed in the 50s, in the immediate post-World War II era, and that darker days were ahead. And so that period of time in the novel also includes a lot of questioning about what there was to be hopeful about in America and what it meant to be a teenager facing the draft, for example, what it meant if you had a conscience, if you wanted to be a conscientious objector, for example. And I have my characters doing a lot of questioning about things like that and about what it meant to not quite believe that the ideals and promise of America were being realized.
And of course, it brings to mind as you read it, especially for those of us locally, of what the company means to the city now, how that has changed over the last 50, 60 years. And really that this is just a progression of exactly what you were writing about when you were writing about the late 1800s.
Right. Well, there is this wonderful renaissance going on, and I've heard people describe it as the lights are coming back on. You know, that Schenectady called itself once upon a time the city that lights the world, actually the city that lights and hauls the world, as I understand it, because of the American Locomotive Company. But in those days, it was all hope and optimism. And then there was, as I said, this period of great exuberance followed by a lot of disappointment and neglect, followed once again by this resurgence of opportunity and discovery and innovation. And, you know, there are a lot of people like my father, for example. My parents came to America. They were immigrants like Steinmetz. They came to America in the mid-50s. They were both Holocaust survivors and essentially chose Schenectady and Niskayuna in particular, where I was born and raised, because of all of the scientific emphasis on education and development and discovery. And they remained very loyal to the place. So in a way, they kind of just waited out those waves of history to come back around again. And I think that the people who are either coming to Schenectady now or have stayed there all this time are maybe realizing something that I didn't recognize, which is that the place has great merit and great beauty, and that what Edison saw way back in the day, that geographic, geological specialty of being at the confluence of these two amazing rivers and being a city and a place so filled with layers of history and opportunity, that the rediscovery for me is a chance to see it through fresh eyes and to recognize that this place that lives inside me is still a place I can return to with appreciation and love. And I sometimes tell people that my novel is my very belated love letter to the place I come from.
Elizabeth Rosner's novel is Electric City. It is published by Counterpoint Press and just out in paperback. Elizabeth will be at an event for the Women's Club of Albany on Tuesday, the 10th of November at 7 o'clock. Tuesday, November 10th at 7 p.m., and you can find out more information about that event by going to womensclubofalbany.com, womensclubofalbany.com. Again, the title of the book is Electric City by Elizabeth Rosner. Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing with us, and again, it would be nice to have you in town. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Joe. It's been great to talk to you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, you can find out more information about Elizabeth's event by going to womensclubofalbany.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.